Brother, there's 66 books in this Bible, this Word of God that we have. But out of the 66, there's one that God promises us a blessing that if we'll read it. And that's the book of Revelation. So if we'll turn to the beginning of Revelation, this is where we will begin our study today, this message. We'll turn over to Revelation 1. And maybe what I think we'll do is we'll read through the 7, and then we'll come back, and we will go through the 7. So Revelation 1 and 3 is the first. It says, "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." There is a blessing, brethren, that we ought to receive if we will read the book of Revelations. And as we draw closer to the time of the end, it'll help us to be able to understand God's purpose and what he's doing and what our part is it. The second blessing is over in Revelation 14. If you'll turn over to Revelation 14. And if you will read, thank you, sir. And if we will read verse 13, and he says, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their work shall follow them." The third blessing that God promises, that he speaks of, is over in Revelation 16. So, brother, just turn over a page or so to Revelation 16. And we'll read verse 15. "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." The fourth blessing, chapter 19, verse 9, says, "Then he said to me, Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God." We'll turn over one page. We'll read the fifth, Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Then we'll turn over to Revelation 22, verse 7, for the sixth blessing, and it says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." And then again, over a page in Revelation 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." So you see, brethren, God has promised that if we will read this book over and over again, and we pray about it, when we always need to pray for divine intervention and guidance in our lives, that we'll gain a blessing from it. Let's go back to Revelations 1 and 3. And let's read here again. Let's start to take a look at some of this. Revelation 1, verse 3. "Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near." Now, first scripture I'd like to turn back to concerning this matter is over in James 1. Turn back to the book of James. It helps give us insight to what this first blessing talks to us and speaks to us on. James 1, verse 22, we begin. "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, he goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Let's look at another reference. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew 7. We'll look over here in the Beatitudes. will begin in verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, stipulation here, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and they beat on that house, but did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell, and it was a great fall. And so it is when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. See, brethren, when we take to heart to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer of the word, we recognize Christ's authority. We recognize his power, his dominion that he has over our lives. We show that by our actions, not by our words, but by our actions. He sees that. He gives you and I, brethren, blessings if we do these things. And as we read here, he warns us if we don't. Let's turn over to the second blessing. Let's go back to Revelation 14, brethren. Let's reread that. Revelation 14. We'll begin reading in verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works shall follow them. Turn with me, brother, back to Isaiah. I'd like to read to you from Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, beginning in verse 19. Your dead shall live, together with my dead body they shall all rise. Awake and sing, you dwell in the dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs. And the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers, or tomb, as some translations give, and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, twinkling of an eye, right? Until the inundation has passed. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood, and will no more cover her slain. You know, whoever dies in the Lord, for whatever reason, for their death, they will be blessed. They will see. They will be a part of that resurrection. Let's turn back to Thessalonians, brethren. Thessalonians 4. Let's look and see what Paul says concerning this. Thessalonians 4, let's begin reading in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or dead in the Lord, as chapter 14 reveals in Revelations. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will be with the Lord always. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'd like to take a look at another one. Let's turn over to Philippians. What's the next part that he speaks to concerning what we read there in Revelation 14 in that blessing? Philippians 2, verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do good for his pleasure." It's his works that's in us. It's not the works of our own. It's his works that's in us. 1 Corinthians 3. Corinthians 3, we'll begin reading in verse 10. "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold and silver and precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built upon endures, he shall receive a reward." His works will follow him. All those that have died in Christ, all of those who may even sit among us who will die in the tribulation, of all those who will die in the future, that work will follow us if we remain true and endure to the end. These blessings are written so as to, when the end of the age comes, those who read and believe these words of this prophecy can find comfort. In perilous times, brethren, we gain now in reading through these words. And I know that I've been in conversations with people who do not have the same knowledge and have not been called to the same way of life that we have. And they start to read in the book of Revelations, and the first thing they do is start to get angry. And they say, "Well, how could God allow this? How could God," you know, they start questioning God. But he says, if we read it, we'll have a blessing in it because we'll understand it. We'll understand the things that are to come, and we'll understand our part in them. Let's go to the third blessing over in Revelation 16. And let's take a little closer look at that one, brethren. Revelation 16, verse 15. "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see him, they see his shame." Now, Barnes Expository notes on the Bible, and I like the way they put it. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief," which can mean suddenly or unexpectedly. But you know, we're not to let fear suddenly overcome us as Christians are. We're supposed to stop and think. Remember what we've read. Remember what we've been taught. Remember what we have and hold dear in our hearts and what we have hope in. We won't turn there, but Matthew 24 and the Olivet Prophecy about the same time. All right, Just turn back over to Matthew 24. We'll take a moment and go back to there. Let's see, I think let's begin reading verse 42. "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." So we have to be on guard. We have to watch. You know, this is designed by God for his people to watch and to be ready for his coming. Since whenever it occurs, the meaning here is that he who watches for these events and who makes these of authority of approach and whose conscience is of a preparation for them is better off than someone who's not. If you're thinking about them, if you have a state of mind that teaches you to watch and to look, then you're not caught off guard suddenly. You're not caught by surprise. You can stop for a moment and remember the promises that he gave. Keeping his garments. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 5, brethren. Second, a part of that blessing is one to keep their garments. Second Corinthians 5, we'll begin reading in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with the hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. We want more, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. We will be clothed. The righteous robe that we'll be clothed with, we're not to lay aside that our spiritual nakedness should be seen. You know, we are to allow the Spirit of God to lead us into every event, no matter how soon or how far it takes. We're to be patient. You know, we are to be awake to a duty and to the danger that's around us. And we're not to be spiritually asleep. And we're not to allow ourselves to fall asleep, but we are to watch. We are to remain clothed. Come on in. The fourth blessing, Revelation 19. I know for many of us, this can be old school, but we have a lot of new people that's among us that I thought today maybe a word that could be given that God could use to help us all just to be reminded. Revelation 19. We're going to begin reading in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has been made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saint. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. We definitely want to be a part of that. We want to be called to that supper. I want to go down and spend a little bit more time on this particular one, because there's a second supper that we think about. There's some questions, a lot of questions came to my mind when I was studying this. You know, will we be called to heaven to a banquet? Will it be laid out? It very well can be. Do we see the scripture that lays it out in detail? No. But we know that we're called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. He knows what that entails, but we don't. But I want to keep reading here, because there's something that struck my interest, really struck my interest, and I'd like to go through it with you. Let's keep reading, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. We know who that is, don't we? We know who's returning. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. We also know that this is the bride, don't we? Those that will be caught up with him, that will come back with him. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now here's where it got a little bit interesting to me that I don't usually associate with the marriage supper with the Lamb. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against his army. Then it goes on down to talk about how they were captured and they were thrown into the lake of fire alive, cast into a lake of fire alive. And then it says the rest were killed with a sword. Brethren, part of being a bride of Christ is we're going to be hosting that meal, that supper, that great supper of God. We're going to be with Christ. We always say Christ is going to come, and we've always said this, and should. We've always said that Christ is going to come, and he's going to fight, and he's going to put down Satan's rule, and he's going to put down mankind. But the scriptures we just read puts us there with it. We know that, but do we focus on that? We've been called to be at that supper also. We've been called to come with him and to help him and to host that meal, if you will. You know, put an end to Satan's reign, to put an end to the dominions and the powers of this world and the governments of this world, to replace them. We've been called to that. You know, there will be two suppers here that's mentioned throughout this chapter, in chapter 19. You know, in this life, we have to decide as a people. In Luke 14, as Christ was talking, there were those that were sent out, a man was told to send out his servants into the street to call those to the supper. And many just chose not to come, and they gave many reasons there. Well, we've always associated this with the Jews of that day, the Israelites of that day, that they wouldn't come, they didn't come. There was a reason behind it. But you know, this supper, this marriage supper, this is one that we don't want to give an excuse to, do we? We want to be there. We want to be ready. We want to be invited. We want to be called to it. We want to show up. And we want to be clothed as he's clothed us. It's a lot to think about there. But again, it's a blessing to know it, to read it, to understand it. And understand in the book where we are. You know, you read a book and you get down to the last chapter and you lay it down. You know, we as, especially the women do this, and men I assume do too, but since the women do a lot more reading, they get in a book and they're in the book. And they're reading the book and they're a character in the book. And when it gets down, they gotta know what happens at the end. Well, God is showing us what happens at the end. He's showing us what we are to have part in, that we are to see. Let's turn over to the fifth blessing, Revelation 20. Let's read verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of his Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. You know, having part in that first resurrection means what? You know, you've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The first resurrection is the better resurrection. Let's turn back, if you will, brother, to Isaiah. The mini Bible. In Isaiah 61, this is a millennial prophecy. So let's read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon each one of us because he's anointed us. To preach good tidings to the poor, he has sent me to heal the hope of the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to open and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand, feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreign shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priest of the Lord. It's you and I, brother. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decked himself for the ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to bring forth before all the nations. And he'll do that through you and I, brother. We'll reign with Christ. We'll be a part of that rebuilding of those cities that it spoke about, rebuilding those governments to be one government. That's the one of Jesus Christ. As priests of the Lord in that first resurrection, we will have a great part in making it happen. What a glorious thing to think about when we're going through trials, tribulations, troubles. What a glorious thing to ponder on and to meditate on. Those are promises that we will see. Let's turn back to Revelation 22. Let's look at the sixth blessing that he shows us. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. What does it mean to keep the words? To keep, in the Hebrew, is shamar. Strong's 8104. It means to keep, to watch, to preserve, to protect, to guard, to give heed to. Just to name a few. It requires something. To keep something requires an action. An action that we're all capable of with the Spirit of God living in us. We can do that. To keep is to respect the authority of the one who gave it. You know, for the most of us, at least, I know that when I look at the prophetic word, I tend to think of times and dates, you know. We all want to know, when's this going to happen? When's this time going to happen? But you know, prophecy, when those things that God has promised comes to pass, prophecy validifies it, doesn't it? It verifies that what he has promised will happen, which gives us future and the hope of all the promises that he's given us. I think that's more of what prophecy should do for you and I. Because we can't live our lives holding on to whether we know what date this is going to happen or that's going to happen. Look how many mistakes has been made in the past from those who attempted to do such. Became disheartened and people walked away because they were so assured of something in their hearts and in their minds And when it didn't come to pass, they looked at prophecy as being something that allows you to know something in the future. Well, you can know something in the future, but the date and the time is not the necessity of it, is it? It's understanding the fulfillment of it and understanding what God promised and then what he did. And where you were when he did it, and where I was, and how we were a part of it, in what way. There's many things that guide us, and they give us assurance. You know, when a time and a place is required for something in prophecy for the brethren and for the church, God will provide. We will know. We will know. So we don't have that worry, and we don't need to have that worry. Let's continue to read on in verse 8. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard, I saw it, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. And he who is unjust, let him be unjust. We can't change no one but the one we see in the mirror. We pray for each other. We strive to help each other. We try to be our brother's keeper. But the bottom line, those that are brother are not our brothers. If they are going to live unjust, he says, let them live unjust. He's the final judge. He's the final one who will have say so. Says he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Our focus has to be on what we're doing, how we're living. That has to be our main concern. We have to be our brother's keeper, yes. But we can't be trying to get a speck out of their eye when we may have a plank in our own. And we can easily create a plank in our own when we spend all of our time trying to pull a speck out of others. You know, when we find ourselves trying to make God in our image rather than allowing God to humble us and make us in his image, we can be guilty of that. Let's go to the seventh blessing. Let's turn over the page. Let's begin reading there in verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments. Show that to a Protestant minister. That they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. You know, we have an obligation to his commandments. I don't care how many people tell you different. He tells you right here, blessed are you if you do them. And if you're not blessed, what are you? So I don't think he leaves any speculation or any gray area here. Let's turn to 1 John 2. Quoted this to people before when they asked me of this or spoke to me of that or belittled me in that. And I said, I'm just quoting, I didn't write it. But 1 John 2, verses 4. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought also walk just as he walked. Did Christ ever walk not in the commandments? Brethren, we didn't write this, but we certainly need to think of the authority of who wrote it and what it says to us. Because if we ever say that we don't have to keep the commandments, we just feel like it's best that we do them. God says we're a liar, and the truth's not in us. Sounds harsh, but actually it's quite simple and plain. None of us like to be lied to, right? Nor does he. Let's look at what Jesus said over in John 15, brethren. Let's turn back to John 15. Let's begin reading in the book of John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Does it get any plainer than that, right out of the mouth of Jesus? Are we keeping his commandments, brethren? Only we can answer that. Fully or just in part, some of the time, are we striving to always keep them all the time? Do we let those commandments actually be guideposts in our life every day that we look to as we go through our day? Do we look back to that post? Do we look back and say that those commandments do have authority over our lives and that we have to walk in them and we have to strive to walk in them all the time? Yes, we may fail. But we should never have the intention of failing. We should always be striving to walk in that walk so that we can abide in that love, as he just said. Let's turn back to Matthew 19, brethren. Matthew 19, let's begin reading verse 16. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into the life, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." Again, do we receive a blessing by reading the book of Revelations? Yes, we do. Because as we focus through each one of these blessings for reading that he gives us, all seven of them, they show us something now that allows us to help prepare ourselves for the future and what will come about. Let's turn back over to John. The book of John, let's go to chapter 14. One of my favorites. Verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Don't say that you love Christ if you say you don't have to keep the commandments. Again, point blank. And he says, and I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. You see, we'll even be given that helper that we can keep the commandments, because we can't keep them on our own. We never could, never will be able to. It's got to be Christ's Spirit living through us and how we're able to be able to keep the commandments. We got to rely on that helper. We got to go back and ask for that helper every day to remind us and smack us upside the head when we don't, or we tend to steer away. Verse 17, the Spirit of truth of the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. And why is that? Yes, we have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Why? Because we love him. How does he know we love him? We keep his commandments. Again, these are not my words, these are not your words. These are Christ's words. They have deep meaning, they have deep understanding. The second part of the seventh blessing says, and they shall have the right to the tree of life. The right meaning that you have upheld the expectations and now are rewarded for such, to the tree of life. In Revelations, let's turn back to Revelations 22. Revelations 22, we'll reread in verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God, certainly this is in the kingdom, and of the Lamb, Jesus. In the midst of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Each tree yielded its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And brethren, what are we going to be helping Christ do? Heal the nations. We will have the right to that tree for eternity. Let's go back and see what God promised to the church of Ephesus over in Revelation 2. Revelation 2, verse 7 says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to be able to say that we would be able to eat from that tree, those of his will be the only that will be able to eat from that tree. To do his commandments gives you and I direct access to that tree of life. Adam and Eve had it in their midst and they rejected it. Through Christ's Spirit, through Christ's sacrifice, through the Spirit of the Holy Spirit from the Father, we are given access to that tree. They were denied it after sin. But when we overcome sin, we will not be denied. We will be given full access to it and to all the blessings that it will bring all humanity. Let's recap. Blessing one, hear and do. Take to heart the words of God and what they specifically teach us through reading the book of Revelations. And wanting and desiring and praying for understanding to be given where you need it. If there are things that we don't understand about it, our salvation does not depend on that. We've just read what our salvation depends on. We've went through it through the seven blessings. Second, keep the commandments. Have the faith of Jesus. That when we die, we will rest from our labors and our works will follow us. Righteous acts that God has performed through us will follow us right to the tomb. Blessing three says to watch and to be ready for his coming. To keep one's garment, keep righteous acts in our walk every day. Be clothed with the spirit of unity and love, compassion. Walk in the commandments, statutes, and the judgments of God. It says, lest we walk naked and people see our shame. When we drop the Holy Spirit from working its works and allowing Christ to live in us, our nakedness is revealed and people see it. We only deceive ourselves if we think they don't see it. Don't lay aside our righteous acts that the people of God or even the people of the world see our spiritual nakedness. Lesson four, to be called to the wedding supper of the Lamb. A preferred guest list, and we will be on it. Lesson five, having part in the first resurrection, the better resurrection, a resurrection with more promises for overcoming. First one being a second death has no authority over our lives, but we will be rewarded. We will be priests, and we will be kings. And we will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Blessing six, to keep the words of the prophecy, to keep, to watch, to preserve, to heed, to hold close to one's heart. Keep the words of the prophecy. Blessing seven, to do his commandments, that we would have the right to the tree of life. You know, we're blessed when we read the book over and over and seek to understand it, because when it comes to that time of its fulfillment, we won't be ignorant. Nor will we be unexpectedly surprised or fear if we truly walk in the Spirit and walk with Christ and walk with the statutes and the commandments and the judgments of God every day before us to live our life to them. We won't be confused and surprised and overwhelmed. You know, we will know where we can be in the conclusion of this age. We'll know where we're at in the book. We'll see where we can be. Well, if we don't follow the instructions, as he showed here, we'll know where we'll be that maybe we don't want to be. Not maybe, we for sure don't want to be. We want to be at the first supper, not the second one that was mentioned there. We can always be reading and seeking to understand this book to encourage others, because there are those, like I said, I've been in conversation with, that they say they won't read the book of Revelations. Who can understand it? Well, of course, if you throw away the prophets and Daniel and the other books of the Torah and the Old Testament, no, you can't understand it. But if you have the Spirit of God and you're seeking to understand, you have that in you that you can help others with, that you could help them in maybe some of the decisions they're making in their life. Maybe the Holy Spirit has started working with them. If you read, you know, you come to understand, you believe, to trust, you can share that testimony with them and make a difference in their life. Well, maybe too, they would decide to do the same. Closing, brethren, let's turn over back to Revelations 22. Let's begin reading in verse 18. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We certainly do not ever want to add to these things. What he showed us here, when with the Spirit is guiding us, is plain and simple. It was Paul said, quickly we remove from the simplicity that is in Christ. If he said do it, do it. If he said don't do it, don't do it. Don't create gray areas. And we're certainly never to take away from this book, as we just spoke to a while ago. If we find ourselves in a conversation and then we compromise because maybe it's getting heated, and we say, well, yeah, but we as a church feel like we need to keep those commandments. No, we as a church, if we only keep the commandments because the church says we are, you're doing it in vain, brother. You better be doing it because God said do it. I better be doing it because God said do it. We don't need a rider on this policy right here. We need to stick to the script. Because we don't want our name taken from the book of life. We want to be at that marriage supper of the Lamb. But reading the book of Revelations does give you blessings. Read it again and again. Take to heed what we talked about today, to look at what the scriptures and each one of those blessings is telling us to do and not to do. You will see, you will find, you will know, you will understand the application of your that's in your life from those if you read them and constantly go over them and look to them. And in doing so, it does give us great blessings. It gives us hope in the future. We don't fear. We know there's going to be great calamity, and we certainly don't want to be part of that, but we know the end of the book, don't we? We know what's going to happen. We know where mankind will wind up, if you will. And it is all good. So let's share this with others when asked to give a testimony for the hope that lies within you, certainly concerning the book of Revelations. Let's think about it. Let's live to it. Let's be in that first resurrection, and let's be at that first supper with the Lamb. Good Sabbath, brethren.